You got a Bible, turn with me starting out over in chapter 12 of Romans. Romans chapter 12. I want to talk to us about how God, you know, we look at the church one way, but if you ever notice, God looks at it a different way. And we have an idea of what the church is, but then you look at the Bible, and what the church actually is, it's not always what we have kind of always thought it to be. Yeah, I said he's confusing us. I want to show you something today in the way that God looks at the body of Christ. He sees us as individuals, each with different abilities, diverse as each one of us is, but he knows right where to place each one of us to make us one body that's a unit that accomplishes exactly what he wants to accomplish. When Christ is the head and we are the body, all rightly united together, we are a organism that makes an eternal difference on face of the earth. But when we are all just doing what we want to do, placed and organized how we want to be organized, we're about as useless as, you know, a lot of things you could think of. But I want to tell you one thing. The church is not what we've always think of it as. As a matter of fact, when we talk about the church, we're not just talking about our cultural understanding. Church is not a building. It's not a program. It's really not even what we tend to think of as people. There's a major difference between the popular Christian understanding of what church is and the biblical understanding of what it shows us. The New Testament word for church is the word ecclesia. And that word literally means to be called out or be called together to a certain kind of people to be a certain type of fellowship. That word was used as such as, say, a group that would be called out to be placed to kind of be like a group of people to be recognized as a special group. And that's what that word ecclesia meant. In the New Testament, the church is not associated with a building or with any type of organizational structure. It's always associated with people. And the church is not a building. When you talk about my home church, that's not a biblical thing to think about. You're talking about a building, a location, a piece of property. But nowhere in the New Testament did they even have buildings or property or locations. The church was always a group of people from a specific place. The church of Corinth, the church of Rome, the church of Bethany. But this is not what makes us who we are. It's what God has made us. And I want you to see something that God says about the church. He says in verse 4, if you look with me, of chapter 12, "For we being many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we being many are one body in Christ, and individual members of one another. And having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them." Now let us stop right there, because tonight we're not going to worry about trying to discern what all these different gifts are that he's given us. But the thing about it is, every member of the body that differs, that all together are put together to make one body, we've all been given different abilities, different gifts, different responsibilities. Look what Paul says right here. "For as," verse 4, "as we have many members," I thank God we have many members, amen? But you know what? All of us together are still just one body. Whenever you talk about, "I'm part of Bethany," what you do affects everybody in Bethany. Now, if you don't believe that, if you don't believe how you live and the choices you make and the way you treat your membership as part of the body of Christ affects everybody. If I had a ball-peen hammer and I got Gary to walk up here, and I said, "Gary, lay your hand up here," and I hit him on the thumb as hard as I could, do you think it's only going to affect his thumb? It's going to probably make his mouth do something. You hit him hard enough, he'll get sick of the stomach. You ever stump your toe good? What'd she say? You see, what we got to understand is everybody in here, though you're individual, you're not separated from us. We are all connected together. And when I don't live right for God, I affect what happens to everybody in this church. And when you don't do what you're supposed to do, and we don't take serious what God has ordained. See, God put you here for a purpose. You didn't join this church. God put you here, according to this Bible. And we are looking at the church for the wrong reason. We're looking all the time for what the church can do for us. And certainly when there are times of need, time when we go through trials and we're in valleys, thank God that the church helps us. But the majority of the time, if you're a Christian walking with Jesus, you're not going to be in need. You're not going to be in a valley. You're not going to be having problems. So the majority of time while you're on planet Earth, you're here to give to the church, not to get from the church. And the way you give to the church is you allow yourself to be placed where God wants you. Matter of fact, where God ordered you. And you do what God placed you here to do. And listen to what he says right there. For we have many members in verse 4 in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. Not everybody can be the pastor. Not everybody can be a deacon. And not everybody can be a teacher. Thank God someone has to have gifts that do other things. But guys, listen, the gifts that put you in the forefront that look real important are no more important than the gifts that God gave that happen out of sight, behind, where no one sees but God. All of them are important. The people who kept nursery this morning, the people who kept children's church, the people who do all the things that it takes behind the scenes using gifts and abilities of ministration, all the different gifts that God gave us as we're all diverse in every one of our different abilities, individually coming together to make the body one so that it can be strong to function. And if you got a weak part in the body, you have a weak body. That's why we need to understand it's important that every one of us live a life that honors God, that can be a part that contributes to the body instead of handicaps the body. When we get away from God, when we get sick in sin, when we become spiritually unhealthy, when we become lethargic and spiritually dead, guess what do we do to the body? We make the body become handicapped. That's why we need to understand that everybody in this church, when one suffers, we all suffer. When one's being blessed, we're all being blessed. We need to understand that we're not individuals separated from one another. We're all individuals united together with one another. Does that make sense to you? And it's no accident that you're here. Listen what he goes on and says. Having then gifts, look at verse 6. First he says in verse 5, so we being many or one body in Christ and individual members of one another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. You don't get to pick what you want to do. Did you notice that? I didn't ask to preach, and I tried to shun it for 6 months till I finally realized it was futile to go against God. And this is the last thing I would expect God to give me to do. And even when I started to preach, I wanted to be an evangelist, Justice. As a matter of fact, when we left Tennessee, I went up on the hill behind our house. I said, God, I'm going to go down there, I'm going to get some education, and I'm coming back and I'm going to preach revivals. I haven't been back to Tennessee since, except to pass through. We don't tell God what we're going to do. But I want to tell you something. When we do what God tells us to do, though, we make a contribution to his body that makes God able to do what he says he can do. You know why I believe the church is so not able to accomplish what we know it should? It's because we're not organized God's way. If you're not careful, we organize our way. And everywhere I look, God says, my spirit will gift you. My spirit will call you. And then my spirit will place you into the ministry that I have ordained for you to do. See, there's some people in every church that's not doing what they should be doing. And I'm here to tell you that pew warming is not a spiritual gift. There ain't one named that anywhere in the Bible. But then there's a lot of people that are doing things they're not supposed to be doing. And both lead to unfruitfulness. I don't know which one causes the more damage. To be given a gift and a call and to be disobedient and to sit out there individually, but still you're not individual, you're one of us and you're supposed to be doing your part. Or to be wanting to do what you want to do instead of what God wants to do, and somehow you have worked your way in to be able to do things that you ain't supposed to be doing, and you're doing more damage to the body than you are doing help. So what we got to understand is we each need to pray and say, God, what is my individual place? What is my spiritual gift? What have you called me here for? Because, yeah, you call me here. This church is going to love me. They're going to help me if I need help. But, God, hopefully I'm not going to need help majority of the time. Because you're going to bless me, I'm going to be able to give help. Because you're going to give grace to me, I'm going to be able to give grace away. So God, thank you for my grace gift. What's my spiritual gift? I don't know about you, but at Christmas, I love Christmas. How about y'all? Ain't nothing drove me more crazy than a present under a tree with my name on it. What I got? Boy, I'll be checking it out. How about you? Me and my brother, we became professionals. We could unwrap them and wrap them back. My mama couldn't even tell. We got a 410 one time for Christmas. We shot a box of shells through it before Daddy ever knew that we knew we was getting it. He looked down the barrel opening Christmas night, and the barrel was dirty. He said, that gun was brand new. We done shot a box of shells in it. Oh, and I told that. But that was before Jesus, a long time ago. But you know what? The Holy Spirit gave everybody in here a gift. You know what? It feels good to me to know that I feel I'm pretty well realized that God gave me this gift to do what I do. Because I've been shown many times that I couldn't do what I do without His grace, without Him giving me this ability. I can't preach. I'd quit a long time ago, or someone would have run me off a long time ago if God had not given me the ability and the gift to do what I do. You know what? Even though I ran from this gift at first, even though I feared this gift, thought I was inadequate to this gift, and I was inadequate, but God gave me the ability. And once you surrender to that ability, you begin to become a part of the body that makes it strong. And we'll always be weak as long as you're not where you're supposed to be, doing what you're supposed to be doing, using the gift of grace and power and ability that God gave you to contribute. And we all got something to contribute. Can I get an amen? If you've been saved, you've been gifted. And if you've been gifted, you've been called. And if you've been called, there is a ministry position for you. Now, we can make up some that you can't find in the Bible. But there are enough in the Bible to make sure we all got something to do. Amen? So I want you to look at me in another place today. Paul saying here, using this same analogy, if you look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 with me, he's using it even again, but he's using it in much greater detail. And us thinking that we're a body. Some of us is a foot. Some of us is a leg. Some of us is a hand, but we're all individual parts making a body. And Paul's using that picture here as he's talking about us in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And listen to what he says. The first thing he says in chapter 12, verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. But you know what? It's come to my attention that very few Baptists tell you what their spiritual gift is. And even less spiritual, even just not many more, can say, I know this is my spiritual gift. God has shown me and I'm confident. See, how many of you ever took a spiritual gift test? A lot of times people tell me, man, that ain't my gift. Now, I'm not putting full, 100% accuracy in one of those gifts. But if you'll answer them honestly, it will amaze you how much it will take you and show you what you really know deep down you're supposed to be doing. And I've had people do it before, and they say, golly, I hate that's what it told me. That's what I'm supposed to be doing. But you know what? There is a way to know what your spiritual gift is. You know what you do? You ask God. Say, God, what is my spiritual gift? Show me. Burden my heart. You know, long before I thought I could preach, I knew God told me to preach. And I still probably don't preach near as much as I ought to be able to preach with all what God's put in me to help me to preach. With all the blessings He's given me and all the books and all the chances, still thank God that I know deep within my heart that if there's anything I can tell you next to being saved is that I know I've been called to do what I do. And if you don't know you're called, you won't be good at it. But when you answer the call that God called on your life and you realize what it is, you'll be the best Sunday school teacher there ever was, because you're not just teaching Sunday school because we needed someone and somebody talked you and coerced you into being on Sunday school. You know, there ain't nothing more unscriptural than a nominating committee at the end of that month when it's getting close to the business meeting and the list hadn't been filled out yet. Oh, man, God told me you're supposed to do this. At our first church, three people told me that God told them I was supposed to do that, doing three different things that took the same time. And I was all confused. And I said, there ain't no way I can be doing three things at three different times all at once. Ain't no way God spoke to all three of them people. Because I'd have to be the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. I'd have to be like, but you know what we do? Oh, man, look, God told me to do. And we put people out of desperation to accomplish a man's objective and purpose for the church. When, you know what, if we really prayed and we taught the Bible and we told people to seek out, God would tell people and show people where to go. And if we help people to grow in spiritual maturity and we discipled them and they began to really look at the Bible, you don't have to tell people what to do. God does that. God draws people to place them and use them how he designed the church to be. And there ain't nothing better than a foot when it's working right. But the last thing you want is a foot where a mouth's supposed to be. Amen? You ever done that? Put your foot in your mouth. It don't work good. So you got to be in the right place. Now, I want you to look at this. I've just told you that about spiritual gifts. We're going to talk about spiritual gifts later. And he gives you a list of all the spiritual gifts, and they're debatable. You got the Pentecostal list. You got the Baptist list. Methodists don't have a list, and I'm playing. But it don't matter. God's got a list, and it's in this book. And whether you believe in them or not, they're in this book. You might think some of them are ceased. I don't know. You got to have a hard time proving that. But all I'm saying is God's got gifts, and he gives them to each one of us. And he says that to one, he gives the gift of faith, but it's the same Spirit. To one, he gives the gift of preaching, but it's the same Spirit. The Spirit of God gives everybody a gift. So are you in agreement? Without worrying about what they are right now, you know you got one. And listen to what he says in verse 11. This is where I want to preach out tonight. But one in the same Spirit works all these things. Do you see that, verse 11? Now, when it says Spirit, mine's got a capital S. That means the Spirit of the living God, the Holy Spirit. Now, guys, if you've been saved, you've been born of God. You've been born of the Spirit. You've been baptized into the body of Christ by the Spirit. And you have spiritual life, and grace has enabled you with a spiritual gift. And that's what he's talking about. But one in the same Spirit works all these things, distributed to each one individually as the church wills. Is that what it says? It says, as he, the Spirit, wills. Now, if the Spirit has willed for you to preach, you better preach. But if the Spirit is not willed for you to teach, the last thing you better try to do is teach. Amen? We need to do what he tells us and shows us to do. Now, listen to what he says in verse 12. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many as one body, so also is Christ. So we're all under Christ. And we know in other places in the Bible, in Ephesians and Colossians, Paul says that we are the body and Christ is the head of the body. So he's the head and he controls the body. The Spirit places the parts within the body where we're supposed to be. And Christ leads. He controls. He's the Lord of the body, the head. And listen to what he says in verse 13. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into the one body. You didn't get to be in this body because one day you walked an aisle, joined the church, and we put you on the roll. The only way you can ever be in this body is by the Holy Spirit of God placing you here. And friends, there's nothing better than being in the church you're supposed to be in when you listen and love to God. And listen to what he says. For as the one body, verse 12, is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body in Christ. For we all, by the one Spirit, were baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free. And we have all been made to drink into the one Spirit. So through that one Spirit, we draw what we need to do what the Spirit wants us to do. Look at verse 14 again. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. Look around here today. There's a lot of different people in here from different ages, from different backgrounds, different educations, different places, different times. But guess what? The one thing that unites us is the fact that we all are saved by God's grace. We're all under Jesus' authority, and we've all been brought here by God. And friends, listen, in verse 15, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If you've been placed here, you're part of this body. Whatever God's told you to do, Brother Gary, you got to do. You can't say, I don't want to be a foot. I want to be something else. I want to be an elbow. You don't get to do that. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I'm not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? But I'm going to tell you what, there's churches all around us, and it can probably happen here. It may already have. It could be happening. That somebody's not where they're supposed to be, saying, I don't want to do that. I want to do something else. And what they're doing is not helping us. They're hurting us. Go on and look at what he says when you get to to verse 18. But now God has set the members, each one of them in the body, just as he pleased. You know what I've come to find? What God will gift you and tell you to do at first may not always be what you thought would bring you pleasure. But when you surrender and allow God to use you, before long, you get joy, you get fulfillment, you get purpose. You know what? I love to preach. Y'all probably have figured that out. But I don't like everything that's involved to be able to preach. This is the funnest part of pastoring, I'm here to tell you. And everyone that thinks, boy, you don't have to do nothing but preach on Sunday. Come hang out with me all week. And you'll find out real quick there's a price to pay. But guess what? Whatever your position is in the church, the joy is when you're actually doing that. And you're actually doing what God placed you to do. And you're in there and you're sharing that gift. And you're doing it in a way that helps and touches the rest of us. And because of what you're contributing to the body, you're going to get joy. But guess what? Doesn't mean that there's not going to be a time where there's part of sacrifice. It's not going to mean there's going to be a time when you have to discipline. There's not going to be a time when you have to deny yourself. Because to accomplish what Jesus wants to do with your life, take up your cross and follow him. The first thing is he says, deny yourself. And as we deny ourselves, we take up our cross. That's knowing what your place is in the church. Allowing him to use you and do the gift. You see, following Jesus is going to involve you being placed in the church, not where you want, not doing what you want, not what pleases you, but what pleases him. And that's what that verse says right there. He says, verse 18, but now God has set the members, each one of them in the body, just as he pleased. Look at verse 19. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? Where would we be if every one of us was a preacher, Justice? Now, there are also a lot of times too many chiefs and not enough Indians. Amen? But not everyone can preach. Where would we be, though, if everybody was an administrator? Or if everyone was whatever other gift they had? We got to all realize that God balances it out and places us where he wants us. According to his wisdom, he knows what we need. Now, this is what I want you to think about for a minute. Do we have enough positions in here? Where do they come from? They come from out there, the harvest, when we reach people. Every time someone gets saved, what you got to understand is, if that person really got saved, he just became a great attribute, a great addition to add to the being able to function and accomplish what God wants. He's not just a person who fills the pew. He doesn't just make our numbers higher so that we can count them and say, oh, hallelujah, boy, we done broke 100. No, he's a person who has a gift, a calling, a purpose, that if he come from God and God brought him here and placed him here, he's got an ability that come from heaven. That is enabled by the power of the Spirit God. We don't think like that anymore in the church, do we? We look at buildings, we look at budgets, we look at programs, and then we debate on what we can do. Let me tell you something. When you're where God told you to be, and I'm where God told me to be, and you're doing what God had gifted you to do, and we're all saying, praise Jesus, we're going to serve together and do it for the glory of God, there's nothing this church can't do. But when you're looking at it with the mind of men and you're figuring money compared to this and programs compared to that, there ain't nothing we're going to do that counts for eternity. I'm here to tell you right now. Because when we do it God's way, good things happen that only God can do. And the church today, in many cases, is doing it in a way that there ain't nothing outwardly wrong with it until it becomes your way instead of God's way. And we can do that if we're not real careful. I don't know about you, but I don't ever want to be anywhere that I'm not supposed to be. If God didn't put me there, I don't want to go. And I've learned the hard way. You can be doing things for Jesus, but not with Jesus. Amen? And you got to learn to do it with him. Listen to what he finally says, and I'm going to close. He says in verse 19, and if they were all one member, where would the body be? And look at verse 20 again. But now indeed there are many members, yet here he says it again, one body. Have you noticed how many times Paul is emphasizing that there's many members, but there's one body? There's one body, but there's many members. We're all united together, but we're all individual. We all have different things, diversity of gifts, but all those gifts come from that one Spirit to accomplish that one purpose, to do that ministry. We all got different ministries, but we all got one Lord. We serve him. Listen to what he goes on and says. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. You see, we all need one another. We need everybody. Everybody's important. When we lose somebody, we've just decapitated something that we need. When someone leaves, you're not just saying, oh, well, if they're not happy, let them go. If they left for the wrong reason and it wasn't God moved them, we just got a part of us that we need removed. It should break our hearts. Listen to what he goes on and says in verse 22. No, much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. The ones that we may think are insignificant, that don't matter, they're necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. Look at verse 24. But our presentable parts have no need, but God composed the body, having even greater honor to the part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body. Do y'all know what that means, schism? Division. There should not be disunity. We should always be unified together in one. And when we are, we're going to be a church that makes a difference. Listen to what he says. But that the members should have the same care for one another. Do you see that? He says in verse 25, that there should be no schism, no division, no contention in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. Listen to what he says in verse 26. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer. You know, when we see a church member hurting, when we see a church member in need, you should want to take care of that need. It should bother you like it was yourself, because deep down it is yourself. Because when this body is handicapped, you're handicapped. When this body is not able to do what God created it to do because some people are weak, then Paul said, we're all weak. And listen to what he goes on and says. And if one member, verse 26, suffers, all the members suffer with it. But if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Look at verse 27, and we're going to stop. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. Now there's four verses that I want to pick out of here and read to you. Look at verse 14. Listen to what that says. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. Look at verse 18. But now God has set the members, which are many, each one of them in the body, just as he pleased. Now look at verse 20. But now indeed there are many members, yet there's one body. And then finally in verse 27, now you are the body of Christ and members individually. I think Paul's wanting us to understand, none of us are of our own. No man is an island. We're all part of the same thing. And when I'm hurt, you hurt. When I'm in sin, my sin affects you. And when you're in sin, your sin affects us. When I don't give the way God expects me to give, my holding back doesn't just affect my personal life and my family. It affects everybody in the church. When I rob from God and I don't honor God with my increase and I steal from what belongs to Him and I don't give it back to the storehouse, it doesn't just hurt me and my family. It hurts the whole church, because it was meant for God to have access, to use, to accomplish His spiritual purpose for us all being here in the first place. You see, everything He's given us is His, even our life. That's why Paul said the first thing we need to be is a living sacrifice, giving our life to God so that we can accomplish what our spiritual purpose is. You know, when we begin to think like this and allow God to have control of our life, and we begin to realize that God put us here not by accident, but He has a purpose. You see, what determines how God works within the church is more dependent on the spiritual condition of the people than the building, the budget, or the program. Did you hear that? What determines how God works within the church is more dependent on the spiritual condition of the people than the building, the budget, or the program. Now that doesn't mean you don't try to make the building as best you can and take care of it and be a good steward. That doesn't mean you try to find good programs. But what it does mean, if we're not in a spiritual healthy condition, if we're not right with God, you can have all of the stuff your money can buy. You can have all the programs the Southern Baptist Convention can come up with, and you won't accomplish anything eternal. We have to do what God... See, every member affects the spiritual condition of the body of Christ, the church. Every one of us contributes something. And every one of us is having an impact and an influence. Nobody here gets to be neutral. You're either making a positive impact or a negative impact. You're either influencing people for God or you're influencing people away from God. Your life, when you became part of this body, became part of this body. And now you're not individual. Your individual choices do not only affect you. Does that make sense? They affect us all. That's why love must govern us. And we must realize that I need to do all that I can to let God have control of my life. Because I don't know about you, I want to make a contribution to this church that makes a difference, that wins people to Christ and shows people the love of God. Friends, tonight, we got a lot of things in this church to be thankful for. We got servants. We got people that do things. We got people that are gifted. And there's all kinds of places God gifts people. And when God gifts somebody to do something and they do it well, don't be jealous. Don't be mad because they're doing it better than you. If God ever sends you a better preacher, oh, God, let him preach. Send me somewhere else. Amen. If God sends you someone and gifts them, let them do that. Don't say, I've been doing this for 30 years. If he sends you somebody that can do it better than you, maybe it's time for you to say, it's time for someone else to do it a while. You see, God's always got something for you to do. If he moves you from one place, he's going to put you in another. But what we need to understand is we are all in this together to help one another, to undergird one another. Thank God for people who have abilities, who have gifts, and they can contribute in a way that builds us up, that edifies us, the Bible calls it, that makes us more of the church we need to be to impact people, to influence our culture, to change our world for Jesus. It takes all of us being where Jesus wants us. Now, we're fixing to close, and this message really don't need anybody to respond. If you're saved, you know you got a gift. Are you using it? Do you know what it is? Well, go get along with God. Get in the Word, and he'll show you. You know how you find out if the gift you think he gave you is your gift? You don't come to Brother Marvin and say, I think this is my gift. Can you tell me if it is or not? You start doing it. You know how I found out I could preach? I started preaching. And at first, I didn't probably know how to preach too good, but people were gracious. And people said, oh, you did good, Brother Marvin. Don't worry, Billy Graham didn't do good his first time either. You'll get better. But all kidding aside, what do? We encourage someone. And as we encourage them, even though they may not be doing it as good as someone who's been doing it 30 years, but if you encourage them and if it's God's call in their life, and that's what God's told them to do before long, they're going to bear fruit. God's going to prove that's what I want you to do. And you know what? If you start doing it, have the discernment and the humility to say, that ain't what he wanted me to do. I must have got out of his will. Don't hurt the church by trying to do something you're not able to do. But when you find the place where you're able to do what he told you to do, and you're contributing and bearing fruit, the church becomes a wonderful place to be. Amen? So all this makes sense to y'all tonight? Ain't it wonderful how Paul uses things like the body? Now, you look at our bodies. Some of our bodies got stuff we don't need, stuff we don't want, so we can all identify. So we don't need no extra. We need just what God wants. But before we leave tonight, there's something on my heart. I don't know if y'all know this, but we got a man right here that I believe God called to preach. In fact, we got a couple young men. But Justice is going to speak this Wednesday at the Field of Faith at the high school to all of our students at Elysian Fields Baptist Church. Now, guess what? He's got a gift, but that gift needs power. That gift needs the hand of heaven to take it and make it real. So you know what that means? We all going to pray for Justice all week, aren't we? In fact, we're going to pray for him tonight before we leave. You know what I think we ought to do? When someone tells you, I think I got a gift, I think God's called me to do that, if he's humble enough and genuine enough and willing to be transparent enough to come up here and say, I think God called me into ministry, I think God called me to teach, we ought to pray for that person. I think a lot of times people don't accomplish God's will because people ain't believing in them enough to pray for them. So, Justice, I want you to come stand up here with me. I want everybody else that's part of the church, if you're part of the body, you might be a foot, you might be a hand, but guess what? Every part of the body can pray. I want you to come up here with me tonight. We're going to get around Justice. We're going to pray, first of all, for the event. It's called Field of Faith. And are you going to be sharing the gospel?
Yes, sir.
Ain't we blessed to be at a school that will allow the gospel be shared right there on the football field?
Yes, sir.
And what time is this?
6:30 or 7.
6:30 or 7.